today's news.
Hello and welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news of the day through the papers of yesterday. Well, you know what? It's that time of year, isn't it? What else could we look at but Christmas for the next one or two shows? Why not? It is that time of the year, isn't it? What was Christmas like? How did it feature in the papers of the past? Well, I'll give you just the briefest of tastes today, perhaps, of how things perhaps have changed, perhaps stayed much the same. Just fashions change, tastes change, but otherwise, does the basic principle stay the same? Well, I'll leave you to decide. Let's go back. On the commercial side of things, we'll go back to the Mona's Herald, Wednesday, December the 27th, 1871. An advert for Mr. Milchreist. Christmas tea, it says, Christmas fruit, Christmas cakes, Christmas biscuits, Christmas cheese, Christmas bacon, all with exclamation marks. Thomas Milchreist, Iron Pier Tea Mart, begs respectfully to inform his customers and the public generally he has just received his Christmas supply of first-class groceries and provisions, and has pleasure in calling special attention to his splendid Christmas mixture of tea at 2 shillings and 6 pence per pound. When did you buy tea by the pound the last time? A choice selection of fruits, a large assortment of cakes and biscuits, brackets, Huntley and Palmer's gold medal. Huntley and Palmer's still going, I think. Cumberland, Wiltshire and other hams and bacon, Cheshire, cheddar and American cheese. What was the American cheese, we wonder? Thomas Milchreist, Iron Pier Tea Mart, Castle Lawn in Douglas. Christmas 1871, it is signed off. He sounds like a supplier of good stuff for the Christmas market, doesn't he? We'll skip to the Isle of Man Times of Saturday, December the 20th, 1884. Christmas, 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 reads the advert. They don't look very sparkly, these adverts, it has to be said. It's just all in black print. Rare, free Christmas gifts. The most magnificent ever offered. Entirely unapproached. The Anglo-French Jewellery Company, in order to introduce their business before the public, have, at enormous expense, resolved to present to every person applying for the same a French pocket time indicator, brackets, patented. Close brackets. This admirable little article is the size and shape of an ordinary watch. I think it is a watch. Has strong metal cases, brackets gold colour, steel works, balanced action, enamel dial, crystal glass dome, patent adjusting swivel ring for attaching to watch guard. On your waistcoat, I think that is. Each denotes solar correct time, and in fact, no one, either male or female, should want to watch when such an opportunity as this offers, a chance will never occur again. The time indicator is warranted for 5 years. To secure one of these little articles, the sum of 1 shilling and 6 pence must be forwarded either by POO, post office order, I think that is, or stamps, and two will be sent for 2 shillings and 8 pence, with the full name and address filled in the form below, and enclosed to the Anglo-French Jewellery Company, Matlock House, Sparkhill in Birmingham. And it goes on to say, grand free Christmas gift to every purchaser for this week only, to every gentleman purchaser. Not success there. We will present a handsome Cyprus gold Albert chain. These are very massive and heavy, and in wear, appearance and pattern are equal to 18 carat gold chains costing £20. Good value. The difference being they're just made out of gold metal, I think. To every lady, we will present a superb suite of rich Cyprus gold brooch and earrings of the newest design, each article suitable for personal use or would form a handsome present for those who wish to have something to give away at Christmas or the New Year. The objects and presents might have changed, so has the value, but otherwise, maybe much the way it is now. On the Christmas announcements of the Isle of Man Times, Saturday, December the 29th, 1888, we hear, Christmas cheer, Christmas cheer. All who wish to spend a happy Christmas should purchase their Christmas hampers at Thomas Curley's old established grocery warehouse, King Street, Douglas. A special new selected dessert and cooking fruit Muscatels, they're grapes, I believe. Valencias, are they oranges? Sultanas, figs, dates, prunes, nuts, candied fruits, etc., etc. Grand old matured port and sherry wines, whiskies, brandies, clarets, champagnes, cordials, etc. Christmas iced and almond cakes, fancy biscuits, jellies, jams, and table delicacies. And the best 2-shilling tea on the island. Unless you go to the Iron Pier and get a pound for however much it was. Thomas Cooley sounds a good bet, though, doesn't it? Now, if you've got very good eyes, how people read the papers back in the day. The print was so small. It's no wonder they all had pince-nez and reading glasses and such like. The Alaman Times, Sunday, December the 25th, Christmas Day, 1897. Christmastide, the article is headed. A happy Christmas. Christmas comes once a year and brings good cheer. Would that this saying were in all families true, that none in the cheery season felt the deprivations and needs incidental to poverty. A large selection of the inhabitants of the United Kingdom live upon the edge of actual want, thousands knowing the need of a meal and the comforts of a home. It is useless to deny that much existing poverty is self-inflicted, much that would have existed had prudence and industry ruled the life. It is quite sure that society will not allow actual starvation. Provision must be made for the hungry and the homeless, and that at the Christmas season public efforts are made to provide a plentiful dinner for the one festive day. But this does not compensate for the condition of the poor, especially of the poor living within the near area, whom Providence has remembered and blessed with numbers of children. On passing the little people, the men and women of the future, a few little hearts would thrill with delight on the morning of Christmas to receive gifts of toys or clothing. Would it not be worth the expenditure of a few shillings or pounds to introduce into some poor home the happiness which, for the time being, such gifts would generate? That was a wise Christian thought which induced the introduction through the post of one happy child surrounded by all that makes child life happy to another child living in another town, many miles apart, confined to bed with sickness and disease, which ultimately will carry the little sufferer to its home in the churchyard. They will never know each other in this world, but the blessedness which follows the gifts of the little donor and the joy which is imparted to the delighted receiver indicate possibilities which surely will have their full fruition in another state of existence. It goes on for columns more like that. I'll leave it there, I think, but some words, the sentiment of which we might agree with to a degree, the language very different. And finally, skipping forward to the Ramsey Courier of Friday, January the 5th, 1945, Christmas, in an article, or at least a feature, entitled Grain and Chaff. Christmas has come and gone again in a world battered by war. Families have been torn asunder and loved ones scattered far and wide over the earth. In so many homes, the atmosphere, which must have been poignant with memories of previous Christmastides, when the family circle was complete, when there abounded peace and contentment and love. For 6 years, that has not been possible, and the men of our country have eaten their Christmas fare on all the battlefronts of the world. Yet through the medium of the radio, there was forged on Christmas Day this time a link between our fighting forces and their families here in the British Isles. Through the BBC, Mother was able to exchange Christmas greetings verbally with her son, wife, with husband, child, with father. We heard the joyful singing of well-loved carols and happy voices of children, the brave courage running through the words spoken by those in the liberated and partially liberated countries of Europe. And we heard the voice of a London soldier fighting in Germany. And then we listened to the voice of His Majesty the King, his message heard in all parts of the world, imbued one with consciousness that he who rules in authority on an earthly throne prays and works and advises for our well-being here on earth as our heavenly King ever plans for the good of our wayward souls. I watched a 3-year-old child opening her parcels on Christmas Day, the youthful beauty of her expression as she unwrapped each package and found the gift therein was something I shall long remember, says the writer. For Christmas is the children's time, when the lovely myth of Santa Claus comes true to the young people, and their faith in a benign old gentleman with a long white beard is, I think, something to be cherished, and for which to thank God. That's a nice article on which to end. More Christmassy thoughts next time, perhaps. A lovely Christmas to one and all, as they say. Until next time, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.